the single largest cause of mortality for young drivers, folks between the age of 18 and 24, is car accidents.
Some users, probably particularly here in the United States, who they fear data encroachment from big corporations and things like that. But with that being said, what do you think the future looks like? I mean, are we headed to a world where 100% of these policies will have to have telematics in the future? You think, and what time frame do you think that transition takes place in, if that's the case?
Our objective: put the power back in the hands of the consumer and enable the consumer to monitor their risk. From an insurer standpoint, turn the consumer into a partner in risk prevention. And fundamentally evolve the insurance model from one based on detect and repair, detect that the damage as a claim has happened or an accident happened and repair, to predict and prevent.
This episode of the Insurance Dream Podcast is sponsored by Viva Virtual Assistants. With Viva, you can save over 60% of the cost of hiring a full-time employee, not to mention employees are impossible to find right now. Viva makes the whole process easy and affordable with college-educated, bilingual virtual assistants that operate in the convenient central time zone. Go to vivavs.com and see why hundreds of insurance agencies across the United States have chosen Viva for their administrative staffing needs. Again, that's vivavs.com.
All right, I am here with Aldo Montefort. He is one of the CEO and founder of The Flow. And we met up at InsurTech Connect in Las Vegas, and I was absolutely fascinated by what you guys are doing to kind of change the game in the insurance industry, and then what The Flow offers insurance companies. And then, part of the conversation that we've talked about that we want to have is, moving forward into the future, how this is going to impact insurance agency owners and consumers of the insurance product. So thank you for coming on. Appreciate it a lot, Aldo. But tell me about The Flow and kind of how it got started, because you've been working in telematics for a while. Is that accurate?
That's right, Abraham, and thank you so much for having me on your podcast. Yes, The Flow has been going now for 10 and a half years, so we've been awesome. At it for quite a while. And we have been inspired by a very simple vision and mission from day one, and that is, how can we contribute to making mobility safer, smarter? And it almost naturally meant for us partnering with the motor insurance world, and what we've been doing over this period of time has been developing technologies and technology services that help motor insurance carriers go to market with connected products, with policies that benefit from some form of connectivity between the policyholder, their vehicle, and the carrier themselves. This connectivity carries a number of benefits for both the carrier and the policyholder. And really, coming back to your question about why we started, well, we felt that the world of mobility is full of inefficiencies. The biggest inefficiency of all is the mortality rate that we experience on the road. It's maybe not very well known that the single largest cause of mortality for young drivers, folks between the age of 18 and 24, is car accidents. Yeah. So we felt it was a massive problem, and it became apparent, particularly around 2012, when I founded the company, that we could leverage the proliferation of smartphones and use them as a powerful sensor that could collect data about mobility, and from there develop insights that could be used by carriers to develop a better understanding of the risk they underwrite, but also at the same time to push back nudges and behavioral conditioning to users to make them more responsible when they drive.
So part of the flows process then is making sure that you give feedback to the insurance consumer, the driver, to let them know, you know, hey, when you do this, that's dangerous, right? I mean, is that kind of like, you know, you're speeding, you're stopping too quickly, you're taking corners too fast? Is that kind of the feedback that you guys are able to give the carriers, but then too, in turn, give the drivers to try and increase those good habits and decrease the bad ones?
Yes, Abraham, that is correct. That is one of the very key benefits that we focus on and make available through our technology is typically through the use of smartphones, which are, you know, a very, very powerful interface and medium for communicating with end users, providing informed, detailed feedback in engaging ways, in ways that engender interest and incent the user to go back and learn, so that, you know, maybe a kid who is driving late at night will think twice before, you know, picking up a phone call and getting distracted. We know distraction is a major source of accidents, or slow down when they approximate a junction. And if you apply this behavioral conditioning at scale, naturally, you can expect, and we see, a reduction in the frequency and the severity of accidents. However, the conditioning and the communication to end users is one of a number of benefits that come with the adoption of connected insurance policies. Another one is the ability for insurance carriers to develop a much more granular and personalized understanding of risk, which means the ability to price more accurately and ultimately more fairly. There is a very interesting trend, particularly stateside, around, for example, the use of rating variables that may bake some real or perceived discriminatory biases, you know, credit score, for example, gender, educational background, and so on. You know, it's hard to argue against actual behavior. You know, that is right. In fact what we observe. So pricing fairness is another important advantage. And I would add also the ability to detect an accident when it happens, because at the end of the day, our technology reads data coming from sensors, and the sensors are giving us real-time or near real-time read on an event which could equate to a road accident, to a crash, which means the ability to intervene very promptly, which carries a number of obvious benefits, but also the ability to reconstruct, sometimes even forensically, an accident. And fourth, last I would say, but definitely not least, these connected products, since they are so smartphone-centric and digitally designed, present insurance carriers the ability to transform their relationship with an end user and develop a level of intimacy with the end user or immediacy of service, which is very much a novelty. You know, if you think of your traditional insurance experience, there are four touch points, none of them particularly exciting. You buy the policy, you renew the policy, you cancel the policy, and you claim. You know, in a world where a policy is connected, the insurer has the privilege, but also the responsibility and the onus to think of an engaging relationship with the end user, which is very digital in nature and can be very rich. But it also comes at the cost of having to learn a whole new way of interacting with end users, if that makes sense.
100%. Yeah. And we just had, you know, real recently on the show, we had Mike Coffey with Coffey Financial. They do semi-truck fleets. And, you know, his whole company is founded around the idea that, you know, installing the telematics, installing the cameras, you know, because they subsidize the cost of it 100%, but it's a requirement for their policies. to have this, you know, this telematics installed and have the cameras installed in the trucks. And, you know, he says, you know, that hands down that this technology pays for itself on the claim side, 100%. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I mean, obviously there's some users, probably particularly here in the United States, who, you know, they fear, you know, data encroachment from big corporations and things like that. But with that being said, what do you think the future looks like? I mean, are we headed to a world where 100% of these policies will have to have telematics in the future? Do you think, and what time frame do you think that transition takes place in, if that's the case?
Sure, it's a great question. So, you know, it's I think it is hard to imagine a world where connected products would reach a 100% penetration, because at the end of the day, I imagine consumers will always have the option, the ability to determine whether they want to buy a traditional insurance product or a product that comes with some form of connectivity. And the consumer will have the option to assess the benefits, the perceived benefits, the perceived pros and cons of each solution. However, Abraham, there is a very important trend that is at work here, which I think will push towards greater adoption. And it's a trend that builds on the certainly the proliferation of smartphones, which is what we clearly very much embraced as we formed Flow and developed a smartphone-based solution. And the trend is now the advent of connected car data. So 95% of all new vehicles that come to market these days are equipped with embedded connectivity. And the user have the option to subscribe to connected car data services provided, made available by the OEMs themselves. There is also a very powerful regulatory wave that said, you know, that fundamentally advocates that end users own the data generated from the car. And so this additional stream of data coming from the vehicle, plus data made available through portable consumer devices such as smartphones, creates an opportunity to craft even more sophisticated connected insurance products. And, you know, we, for example, very recently announced back in September at ITC in Vegas, when you and I first met, we announced Flow Fusion. Flow Fusion is the first connected insurance proposition where you can take data from smartphones and data from a connected vehicle and fuse them together. So from an insurance carrier, now we have the opportunity to really have a best of both worlds vista into your policyholder. On one hand, the richness of data coming from smartphones, including distraction, which uniquely comes from smartphones, and we know is very, very predictive of claim propensity, with data coming from the vehicle. Initially, maybe just odometer, but then you can add, you know, wipers on or off, you know, tire pressure, level of fuel in the tank, and again, you name it, a wide range of data. So my contention, you know, my hypothesis is that the availability of these very powerful and very predictive data sets reinforce the foundation of future insurance products that will fundamentally alter the landscape as we know it. That will be highly personalized, and will certainly, that is our objective, put the power back in the hands of the consumer and enable the consumer to monitor their risk. Turn the, from an insurer standpoint, turn the consumer into a partner in risk prevention, and fundamentally evolve the insurance model from one based on detect and repair, you know, detect that the damage as a claim has happened or an accident happened and repair, to predict and prevent. The prevention piece, you know, the best claim is the claim that never happens. So To your question, what do you see in the future? This is very much the world we are tracking towards at the flow.
Well, and I think so. My personal opinion is that it's going to be just these policies are going to be able to be rated so much more accurately, and then you're going to have the drivers that are safe drivers that want to be taking advantage of these discounts flock into these products. So I think likely we end up in a world, you could tell me if you think I'm right or you think I'm crazy, because I don't work in your industry, so I don't know for sure. But just from everything I'm seeing, we see a world where the safe drivers are using these kind of technologies. The insurance companies are able to reward that good behavior. And essentially the policyholders that are not doing it, really the main reason that they would not want to do it is because there could be some activities that they're involved in that maybe aren't the safest, that could lead to claims that are going to make them higher risk. So it'll almost be like a price incentive to be doing it, because otherwise this is not going to be a competitive insurance product. Is that what you foresee?
I think your intuition is absolutely correct. It is, I believe, very natural to imagine that the market will evolve, and you will see a better discrimination between end users. Yeah. And ultimately those end users who are willing to enter into this, accept this trade, this value exchange, the provision of their data, and the acceptance of a connected product, mm-hmm. against the benefits of that proposition, versus users that very legitimately will say, no, I would rather not go down that route. And it's only, I think, legitimate to expect that there will be a pricing differential applicable to in that scenario. And another factor that I think plays a part, we have seen a lot of that with COVID, Abraham, is the fact that there has been, COVID brought a reduction in miles driven by necessity. And that generated a greater appetite for mileage-based propositions. Because insurance at the end of the day is a compulsory product, right? And so the ability to price based on the consumption of risk effectively has the need of the kind of product has become more acute, right, as a result of the pandemic. And that, I think, is another interesting evolution that we are observing in the space.
Yeah, 100%. So I see you guys work with, you're working with Plymouth Rock, you're working with AAA, Munich, Ergo. There's all sorts of companies that you guys are providing the telematic solution for. And it looks like on here that the Flow Fusion, you have a driver score. You guys are able to measure things like smooth driving, distraction, cell phone use, fatigue, how long do they keep traveling after a journey of 2 hours, their speed, the time of day they travel, and then all of this data and probably a lot more flows into, their driver score to say, this person is a good risk or not a good risk. So with those companies that you're working with, clearly you share the data with the driver. Clearly you share the data with the company. For independent insurance agency owners that are placing these insurance products with the companies that the Flow offers them through, do you guys provide this agency, or I guess maybe does the company provide the agency with this data, so that way the agent can sit down and go, well, hey, your driver score out of 100 was 45 because you mostly drive at night, you drive more than 2 hours, and you pick up your phone all the time. Is that the kind of data an agency owner would get to be able to share with their clients to help consult them towards better rates?
So the type of data that is presented and shared with the agency owners and operators is determined by the insurance carrier. We typically support and provide this technology services to the insurance carriers. However, there are.
So it'll vary.
It will vary, yeah. Exactly. The insurance agents perform a super critical role in this in this ecosystem. And it's very important that we have an opportunity to socialize and disseminate the benefits of this technology. Because ultimately, I think of the insurance agents as partners to the to the consumer, as partner, you know, to the maybe the small fleet, the micro fleet, and an opportunity exists to educate about the benefits and the advantages that can accrue to the policyholder by embracing this this technology, and in partnering around risk management. Because one of the great benefits of this services is that we can get to a very precise, very accurate understanding of risk. And so there may be many opportunities where an insurance agent can engage with their customer base on the back of the data and the analytics that we provide to the insurance carrier to discuss ways in which risk can be mitigated, that prevention measures can be introduced. And I don't think that's happening to the extent it could, and there is definitely an opportunity there.
I agree with you, you know, because I know a lot of, I know some insurance agency owners or insurance agents that have actually, you know, they distrust the telematics data collection themselves. And then, you know, they'll have a conversation with one of their insureds. And instead of trying to bridge that gap and build trust in that product for the reasons you just mentioned, you know, a lot of times they will reinforce those fears that the consumers have about the telematics. And so I think, you know, that even the conversation that we've had about, I mean, because who wants to get into a car accident? Certainly not me. I don't think any of us do, right? Who wants to, you know, end up in the hospital or pay higher insurance rates or anything? I mean, it's just like the answer to all of those questions is none of us, right? So, you know, being able to, like, you know, maybe I'm doing something when I'm driving and I don't even realize I'm doing it. The telematics can pick it up and be like, hey, Abe, you know, when you're driving 37% of the time, you do this, and that's pretty dangerous. That could lead to an accident. You know, for me, because I don't want to be involved in an accident, that would make me go, oh, and I always start thinking about that, you know. And then I can't remember, I think it was you when we were in Vegas that I was talking to, and you said it takes how many days for somebody to form a habit behind the wheel? And so you typically, was that you and I that was having this discussion? You typically see, you know, like some feedback at the beginning, and then you'll see these driver scores improve, which as an independent agency owner only makes sense, right? Because, you know, our income comes from commissions, but then it also comes from contingency bonuses, profitability bonuses that we share with the carriers when our you know, profit is higher and our claims are lower. So, you know, anything that we can incorporate into that obviously is a plus for the safety and well-being of our clients but, you know, also the profitability of our business. So, you know, I think that in a lot of ways, even if we have reservations about it from a business perspective, really figuring out the benefits for our consumers financially and health and safety wise, and then, you know, communicating those can be profitable and beneficial in a lot of ways. So,
absolutely, and we have a lot of evidence that educational content, particularly when associated with rewards and incentives, are very powerful levers that nudge consumers. We observe material 100%. Improvements in the scores. Another instance where this partnership is very powerful is in, you know, with parents and children. You know, there is an opportunity for insurance carriers and agents to really partner with parents and work together to educate the children when they start driving around the benefits of the value of safety, and it can be done in a you know, in ways that are engaging, supported by incentives, and, you know, really, really effective.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I really appreciate your time. I think that this is definitely the future of, you know, insurance. It has to be the future of insurance, because I can't think of very many times that we've had, you know, technology on our side to make things better, and it hasn't progressed that way, right? I mean, I see you're on an iPhone and you got the AirPods or, you know, whatever those earbuds are. You know, just all that kind of stuff. It moves us forward. It helps us do better, be better, and have more accurate, you know, stuff. And I think that the flow is doing that too. But I appreciate your time, and you know, I look forward to having you on to talk about the future of telematics as things evolve, and get the inside scoop on it. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Abraham, for having me. Wonderful.
Thanks. Wonderful talking to you.